let's just say, man, you know, it's a work in progress. I don't think this is anything what we thought would be happening right now at this point in the season. I thought we would be looking ahead and trying to hoist the SEC championship, which in a sense was kind of premature. I know, you know, none of those guys on that team have done anything yet, but, you know, with all the athleticism and the stardom of five stars coming in, we were kind of believing that this was the year. This was the year. But, man, it's been difficult to watch at times, you know, especially last week, you know, when really the last 4 weeks, you know, when you don't have a guy in the middle that can anchor it offensively. You heard Coach Barnes after the Auburn game say it may be time to tinker with things as far as getting someone down low to be able to get buckets automatically, whether that be posting Keon, whether it be posting Jaden, whether it be posting Josiah Jordan James, whatever it may be. But I think whatever you do, you have to have the right spirit. And I think that's what the team is missing. And you rarely hear that from a Coach Barnes team. You know, a spirit, you know, just, you know, they have the moniker, it's not about me. And I want to know, if it's not about you, then it should be about your brothers, the ones that are out there with you. And you should want to play hard for them. You should want to play hard for the coach. The energy and excitement, whether it's fans or no fans, should come from not letting your brother down. So I'm interested to see how things shake up this week, you know, going into the Florida game. And it should be different. You know, that should be a sickening feeling in their stomach and their soul and their spirit, losing the way they did Saturday. So hopefully things shake up and Sunday we start to see a re-energized Tennessee Vols basketball team.
Ron, when you're looking at what is going on with this team, is it just confidence? Are they having a confidence crisis at this point in time?
Well, if we look at what Jaden Springer said, I think it has something to do with confidence being shaken. Why it should be shaken, I'm not sure. I know one thing for sure, and we know as watching it, you see the confidence being put into this team from the coaches. You know, the schemes are drawn up to give the guys that need to have the confidence. I mean, you try to press every button, especially offensively. You know, defensively, you know what to do. You know, you just got to man up and stop the person in front of you. I'm sure in practice they're going over it and they're building each other up. Off the court, they're building each other up as much as possible when you're regulated at how many people you can have around you or how many people you can have in a room, which I think is a difficult thing, and I think it's starting to wear on these guys. But you got to kind of find a way to get that confidence. If it's going back and looking at old games, if it's finding a way in practice, I'm not sure, because I was never a guy to have to struggle with confidence. You know, I thought I was confident when it came to eating in the mess hall in Gibbs. I thought I was confident in the way I walked to school. I was oozing with confidence. Maybe I need to give it ooze a little confidence down in Thompson Bowling or something.
Ron, I feel very surprised by that little tidbit you just dropped on us. Never struggled for confidence. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, that's what I thought the fans may be wondering, or the listeners may be wondering. Maybe he's struggling with confidence, too. So I wanted to put that to rest.
Ron Slay's with us. We talked yesterday. This team could use a Ron Slay. Sunday, I was doing TV in Knoxville on the Sports Source. Jerron Maimon was on the set. We talked about they could use a Jerron Maimon. We're also having this conversation in March. Can you get that if you don't have it once you're at this point in the season?
It's difficult, but it can be done. Like, it's just a switch. Is something you have to have, and that's the biggest thing missing, I believe, for this team. Being able, as an older guy, alum, to go up there and speak to the team, you know, with the COVID things you have to go through, you have to get cleared and this, that, and the other, and you don't really want to take that risk, one wrong move, and you got six guys got to miss a game, and that's going into the tournament. It's all kind of weird things that you have, and with the momentum that you're not able to build by the fans being there. You know, you got to imagine some of those games where Keon has those dunks. That turns out to be a blowout in the game. You know, then Forky, he feeds off the crowd. So it's a lot of different things, man, that you need in when going through a season, you know, because it's up and down and it's a long season and it's starting to wear and tear on not only the coaches but the players, and that in return is probably making the coaches frustrated and scratching their head like, what can we do? Because you can't break up the monotony of the team by going out and playing bowling or laser quest or tag or anything like that. So, I mean, you're kind of forced to go to school, lift weights, play basketball, eat with one or two people, go back to your dorm room, watch film over and over and over and over. And they've been doing this since, what, last March? You know, so, and then with the newcomers coming in, not really getting those guys acclimated to it. So it's hard, man. It is very hard. I wish I had the opportunity to go up there because I really, really would have. It wouldn't be a rah-rah speech. You know, I think they're past that rah-rah speech, but it would be more so of asking them, like, what do you do it for? What do you do this game for? Because the way some of you guys look when you're out there, it's not Tennessee. This is not the foundation that's been laid before you. This is not the history of it. Like, yeah, I've been a part of teams that have stumbled like this, especially my sophomore year, but it was because of us doing something and not really, to me, playing for each other anymore. You knew the individual things got in the way of it, and we couldn't shake that by the time it was time to, you know, bounce back and get on our run. So I think it's going to be difficult trying to shake it up now. Can it be done? Yes, without a doubt, but it's going to take somebody to step up and talk and, you know, maybe say some things that might not sit well with everyone.
We heard, though, about this team kind of having one of those come-together moments over a month ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, you thought, okay, that's going to be the turning point. And it has not materialized to that. So I also wonder if they were to have another one of those meeting of the minds to try and get on the same page, just what that could actually do.
Yeah, I think in that meeting, that more so to me was the coaches doing the meeting, doing the talking in that meeting. If I'm just, you know, speculating, because I don't know. I know they were talking about drawing the line in the sand and holding the line, and they did that going into the Kansas game. But I'm talking about a players-only meeting. We wouldn't need no coaches there or anything. It's just me and the players. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it would go down. I had the opportunity to interview Tyler Smith yesterday, and he was talking about the same exact thing. He was like, man, you'd be surprised who came in there and spoke. You know, he was like Chris Lofton or Juwan would be the one speaking on their team. And we, from the outside looking in, Chris Lofton is the quiet guy. Like, who would expect Chris Lofton to come in there and say something? But he was like, man, that's the type of leadership and brotherhood that they had. Like, anybody could get up and say something, and it really means something. So I think it has to be a players-only meeting, and they have to come together, and they got to play for each other, regardless of whatever's going on, man. You live by it. It's not about me. Like, I don't want to see my brother suffer. I don't want to see him lose. I don't want to see the media talk bad about him. I don't want to see that. If it's focusing right there, I got to do something not to let my brother down. What it is, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out. Before we go ahead, before we get into this next practice, I'm going to know what it takes to uplift him, to get him out of his dumps. If it's injury, whatever it is, listen, man. Me as a man, I got to go to coach. Look, coach, I'm going to be honest, man, I'm hurting us, but any way that I can help us, put me in that position and I'm going to help us. And then I put all that ownership on the coach. You got to get me to that level. But as far as the players go, man, you got to go dog it. You got to go dog it for your partners. Like, that's, you can see it in Keon every now and then at the end of the games, him clapping and telling people to come on. But I've never seen Forky play when it's nothing. And I hate to keep putting it on them, but, I mean, this is the all-SEC performer. He's got to carry this load. Like, and that's when you can't, if you can't do the product, you can't have the productivity that you need, then vocally, even if you're not that guy, you need to speak up. And I guarantee they'll listen. You've been there before. It'll shake things up, I promise. Eves, I'm not sure if Eves talks a lot, but could you imagine if we were getting ready to go out there to practice and Eves turned around and said, "Hold up, everybody. Y'all have a seat, man. Look, I got something to say." Everybody be, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, this got to be for real. If Eves about to say something, you know what I'm saying? You need that kind of shakeup. So whoever it is, man, it's on them to bring it up as players to me.
And all of this is part of the goal to score more points. Tennessee needs more on offense. So what about on the court? What can Tennessee do there? We'll discuss that coming up. Ron Slay is with us for this entire hour. It's the Slay Ride. It's presented by Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. Online, nativetn.com. You can schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Ron Slay continues right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime, as well as listening on your radio on FM 99.1. As we continue with the Slay Ride, presented by Native Design and Hardscape, your new outdoor space awaits. Native Design and Hardscape, making backyard dreams come true. Go online, nativetn.com. Ron Slay is with us. Ron, how about on the court? And, of course, a lot of the conversation is offensively. And, by the way, before we continue, do we skip over the defensive side too often? Because I know during the game against Auburn, there were some things that you're watching, you're wondering, okay, what do we do here? Because Auburn was finding ways to get buckets. Tennessee actually scored more than 70 in this game and lost, the first time that's happened this season.
One more time, Josh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Do we skip over the defensive side? Because I was about to jump to the offensive side again, and we'll get there. But have they slipped a little bit defensively? They have in the ratings, and as I mentioned, this is the first time I believe Tennessee has scored 70 and lost in a game this season.
Yeah, it's a total team effort as far as the defensive end goes. That's just me to keeping guys in front of you, you know, and like Coach Barnes said, man, you gotta focus in on what the scouting report says. You know, if it's a guy that's going to go left the entire game, believe me, it's not going to switch up in the middle of the game and he's going to start going right. He's coming back left as a guy in Flanagan. And then you got a guy like, taking the Auburn game, for instance, Devin Cambridge, who's from Nashville, Tennessee, man. And we see a lot. I know the scouting report on this young man. Like, he wants to go to the offensive boards. He's not going to dribble. He wants to stand still, catch and shoot threes, get out in transition. That's what he wants to do. If I know this as a fan watching the game, you as a player definitely have to be locked in and know exactly what to do. And these are the two people that you let get off on you. Like, that's a problem. You know, it's got to be taken. It's got to be more pride taken into it. And I believe, man, you almost got to sit a guy. Like, if you're not, you saw a lot of guys get sit in the first half about missing box outs. But when it comes to defense, man, we expect more. You know, you're getting it from Keon. He's going 1-5. You're getting it from Eves. Jaden's doing a better job. Victor Bailey Jr. is athletic enough to keep these guys in front. The only one that should be struggling is Vescovi. You know, but he tries. You know what I'm saying? You see it on there, and he tries. But it's nothing that can be hidden. teams are seeing this, and they're licking their chops, and they're trying to get to that matchup, whichever one they feel like they can expose. They get to that matchup, and we've been switching on the pick and roll for screens and catching guys and trying to play them that way, and they've just been attacking, man. So, yeah, in the numbers, the defense hasn't fallen off, but watching the game with the eye test, the defense has fallen off extremely, you know, especially keeping the guy in front of you for more than two dribbles. So that's nothing that can be overlooked, because that, I believe, goes – you transition that to offense. You get stops on defense, you're able to get out and run. You finish the defensive possession with a rebound, you're able to get out and run more. You don't have to set up plays and we got to pound it down low. You don't have to pound it down low when you get in the rebound and you pitching it ahead, creating 3-on-2s and 4-on-3s and things of that nature. So defense has to get back to where we can get out and run. And then you don't have to necessarily worry about the offense. You turn your defense into offense like teams are doing against us.
Ron, when you're looking at just the overall picture, are they going to have to, and this could be defensively or for offense, are they going to have to start maybe tweaking the lineup that they're using and making any sort of personnel changes?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. That's part of the growth of a season, you know, going through it and being able to see guys that don't have it going right then. You know, you may have to shake it up a little bit. Like, you may have to go with four guards and one big in there. You know, you hate to throw in the towel or, you know, scale back a little bit as far as playing the four and the five together, pawns and focusing together. But you may have to do that because it's making us stagnant in a sense. When you're trying to pound the ball inside and you don't have a guy down there that really, really wants it and really going to do something with it, as a fan, we're looking at it and we're losing confidence in the person throwing it down there. So I can only imagine what the player would be like. Like, man, y'all want me to give him the ball again? He ain't going to do nothing with it. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, by that time, it's 16 seconds off the shot clock. Ball swung back around. You got 4 to 5 seconds left on it, and it's like, what am I supposed to do? Then you all of a sudden see a guy hoisting a three that shouldn't be hoisting a three. You know, so it's difficult. Difficult decision, but a decision has to be made, you know, in order to shake some things up. You know, and then talking about this, boys, I was saying to myself that, you know what, I think it's going to be all right. But then when you start going through the layers, you start going through the layers of the team, it's so many things that – you can point at to try to fix, but to me, it all comes with heart, effort, and energy. Get those things together, and all the rest of these things fall in place. But as far as your question, though, Heather, I think you do got to shake it up to me.
Well, and Ron, that's why it goes back to a lot of the conversation from the first segment, and what a lot of people are talking about is just trying to get everything figured out and guys having each other's back, because I think the confidence point that you mentioned is often overlooked, that when we bring that word up, we're often talking about somebody being confident in himself or herself, but being confident in your teammates making plays, that's a big part. If we're talking about ball distribution and guys playing for each other on the court, if you're not confident in your teammate, you're less likely to want to set him up to score, right? Because you're just going to expect that to be a lost possession.
Exactly. That's exactly it, Josh. Like, then you start to find yourself doing things out of character or out of the flow of the offense. So now it's
Becomes my turn, like your turn.
Yeah, there you go. Then you start looking like, oh, what, man? Then from as we're watching the game, we're like, man, he's getting a little selfish or something. He's forcing shots, but he's really trying to get something going. He's not confident in anybody else doing it, and he knows he can do it, and he's not given that opportunity necessarily while trying to do that offense, and you get a little frustrated as a player watching that. So you're totally right, man, with that. It's something that's got to happen. But my thing, man, body language, all the things that you as a person, as a player can control, you have to control those things. Like, stop worrying about the scheme. Stop worrying about where you're going to get buckets. Just imagine if you go out there with great energy, you go out there with great effort, you go out there with great body language, and you go out there encouraging your teammates to pick it up just on the defensive end. Let's not even worry about offense. You'll be surprised at how many easy looks you get. I mean, it'll be so much easier. And we would start to flourish again. But how do you get to that point at this point in the season? That's the question that has to be answered. Who's the one that steps up and grabs the team and sick and tired of watching it? That's the question that I want to know. When you saw in that Kentucky game, this is the reason I said it would be Josiah Jordan James. It's because he was prowling the sideline as if he was a coach. Like, he was literally walking the sideline more than Coach Barnes. So I would imagine, man, if he could carry that over into practice or into the locker room and talk to these fellas about what it means, then it's different. It's totally different. Like, man, it's rough. It's rough to watch.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation, talking about Tennessee needing to get better, what they're working on, as well as the importance of the upcoming game. Tennessee has a full week to get ready for Florida on Sunday. The importance of that game, we'll get to that in the second half of this hour with Ron Slay. It's the Slay Ride. We have it every Tuesday from 1 until 2 o'clock. Thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, you can schedule a consultation. Go to nativetn.com, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. It's Native Design and Hardscape. More with Ron Slay, the Tennessee basketball legend, right here on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We have 90 minutes to go. We have another 30 minutes with Ron Slay. It's the Slay Ride every Tuesday, thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. And Ron, as we're talking about what Tennessee needs to correct, and let's see what kind of fight there is in this team, isn't this the perfect kind of opponent to find out? Tennessee went to Gainesville earlier in SEC play and got run out of there with Florida not being at full strength. Remember, going into that game, Florida was missing some players, and Tennessee was a big favorite, and then Florida blew out the Vols heading back to Knoxville. And that was the first sign of, oh, there might be some kind of trouble here. So this Sunday, let's see how Tennessee responds in a game that will be really important and could be good for the resume. If you look at the positive side, a win for Tennessee would be a good sign of how Tennessee's responded probably, but also would help that tournament resume.
That, no doubt about it. That is exactly what they have right here on the horizon, man. They got a great week of practice. You know, let's switch this thing to get, let's get positive real quick. So a great week of practice, an emotional lift, whatever they got to watch. If they got to go back and watch an old Hoosiers movie, Glory Road, or Remember the Titans, whatever they got to go and do, that's what they got to do. And this will be a great week. The Vols will get revenge on the Florida Gators. Come Sunday, they will be the game to be watching on that day. And I'm excited for it. They should be excited for it. We're lifting that black cloud. We already went through that. It's no longer needed, no longer here. It is time to roll. Woo! Yeah. Oh, let that come through on you, Heather. How about that?
I'm glad that you just got pumped, because I do owe you an apology for taking you down the positivity trail with me last week before I went on vacation. I was feeling it. I was in the zone. I was like, oh, my gosh, 3 days off. This is amazing. Yeah, Tennessee is going to beat Auburn. So it is my fault. I very much apologize to you. You were hesitant, Ron, but I drug you along, and I am sorry for that. But you can drag me along the positivity train. I do think the layoff is going to be good, especially for guys like Josiah, who is not 100% and can get some more treatment, doesn't, you know, maybe can take a little bit of time off. I don't know how that's going to work, but, you know, not playing a game is a good thing for some of these guys right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the ones that need to rest, you're exactly right, Heather. They need to take their time off, rest, get in there with Chad Newman. If it's anybody in the world that can bring you back and get you healthy, it's Chad Newman. I've been through it. So I'm really interested in seeing how these guys bounce back. Good to see. It would be good to see Eves without all his mummy wrap on and him out there not wearing braces and wraps and all kind of little weird looking things out there. Just back out there, man, seeing him sky to the top of the rafters. It'll be good. It'll be good. Like, I wouldn't activate guys until Thursday if they needed to get that rest, but they would be doing a lot of film for the ones that needed to get those injuries shaking off. But everybody else, we getting active, and then we'll pump it down a little bit come Friday, going into Saturday, and then Sunday. Hey, it's all balls to the wall, no nothing. One thing that matters is beating the Gators, man. If you can't get back and get hyped for this game, you are not a Tennessee Vol. Like, I don't know anything else that needs to be said, especially the way you got embarrassed down at Florida with them missing three guys. Like, that's rough right there. So hopefully they figure it out. And yes, Heather, you did owe me an apology, because I told you. I said, man, no, Auburn has their number. The same way Coach Barnes has Cal's number.
Yeah. I know.
That's the same thing with Coach Pearl. And you heard it in the post game. If you follow Auburn, Coach Pearl said at the end when they went in the locker room, the cameras were following, thanks for having my back against these guys. So, you know, going forward from this point on, like, it is a revenge thing for Bruce Pearl going against Tennessee. It just is what it is.
Which, what is that about? We didn't leak the photos of Aaron Kraft. I mean, geez, hey. Louise, I didn't call in the barbecue to be delivered at his house. I mean, come on.
Hey, that's the same thing I'm saying, Heather. Like, it was some people hitting me on Twitter and atting me and saying that, we ran Bruce Pearl off. Wait a minute. We didn't run Bruce Pearl off. Bruce Pearl ran Bruce Pearl off. It was that easy. It was simple. So, I mean, you know, it's a part of the game, I guess. You know, and the Vol Twitter has become stronger. I don't know if it's several people running millions of accounts or what, but I always see the feed going on my phone for some odd reason. But hey,
yeah, how are things with Vol Twitter and Ron Slay right now?
It's cool. It's cool.
Okay.
And the good thing is, like, I'm able to be on the radio like this with you guys, so I'm able to use my voice. And one thing Vault Twitter know I will not do, I will respond. So I'm cool with responding, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on the radio, whatever it may be. I got plenty of time for it. So you got the right one.
Hey, what is the Ron Slay Rally the Squad movie? You got to pop a movie in. Are you going sports movie? Do you go something else? What's the Rally the Troops movie for Ron Slay?
That's a good one, Josh. That is a good one. If it was Little Ron voting, Little Ron would probably either put Tom and Jerry in, Jurassic Park, or
Jurassic Park, Willy big
Wonka
fan.
And the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, I am too. Oh, Heather, like, you can't miss me with Jurassic Park. So, yeah, that's my go-to. Sports movie, man. Ooh, that is a rough one. I probably at this time with the team and them going through what they're going through, it probably would be a movie like Remember the Titans or something like a Glory Road or something. You know, it got to be something motivational and where guys start to come together and they're not playing.
Yeah, it's a come together movie with the team. Yeah. So that makes sense. You're trying to get the team togetherness. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly what they need. Who you're playing for? Like, I'm gonna keep going back to that. Like, I honestly, last night, man, I was sitting in my man cave, and I actually came up with a speech for the team, and I was like, man, if I could just get up there, boy, if I could just get up there and get in that locker room and just have a moment with them, I promise, I feel like it would be all right. But, you know, we all think that we can change and move mountains, but I think I kind of could on this one.
I just want to hear a little. I mean, we can record and send. MP3s go via email.
Hey, so see,
we're podcasting.
It would be so personal. Like, I would tell them, like, it's. You got to imagine, I was in these seats, you know, and I've been on the ups and downs of the season. I remember what it was like to go through the ups and downs of the season. And then also seeing that at this point, this juncture of the season, man, there is no tomorrow in this thing. Like, it's other things that's going on out here in the world. Like, I know my parents are at home struggling. My brothers and sisters are at home struggling. Shoot, they had to move up here for us to get locked in and you know, have a place to stay, roof over your head. So this was an escape. This was an escape for me. And everybody else that was on this team with me had these same exact problems, like, what are we going to eat? But it was about pulling each other along. That's when we had our greatest experiences with each other, and we had things to live by. If I can bring this 99-2000 team in here right now, everybody would say it wasn't about the coaches. The older we got, the more we look back on it, it was more about us playing for each other. Like, I never wanted to see Vincent Yarbrough struggle. I never wanted to see Tony Harris struggle. Harris Walker, all the way down to Zach Turner, who was a walk-on on the team. This was something that meant more to us. Who we were playing with, it didn't matter about what scheme it was. We came out and we played the way we wanted to play for each other, because I can't see my brother struggle. That's what it's about, and that's what you guys got. It's not about me. That's what you say. So what is it at the core? If you pull back all the layers of the onion and you're sitting at the core, you do it for one person. That's for the man upstairs. That's cool. Pull another layer on. Who else do you do it for? Are you selfish? Are you an individual? No, you're not. You're not an independent contractor. You're on a team. So what you do is for your brother. It's for him to succeed. And with that success that he gets, you get. And it's not even about you. So if it's not about you, you got to go out here and show me it's not about you. You look back on the team, it was a picture of everybody picking this guy up. Ease was on the ground, and all four guys were trying to pick the guy up at the one time. That's what you got to get back to. Right now, are you just being conditioned to go and do that? Or do you really mean what you're trying to go do? Do you really mean it's not about you? And you really mean that you want to go help your teammate out? You really mean that you want your guy to go out there and fight tooth and nail to get you over the hump? Does it really mean that much about this team succeeding, or is it about you and you're just conditioned to say it's not about me? Because if it isn't, you need to go and show. And the way you go and show that is control your body language, your effort, and your energy, and you give your all, not only for you, but for your teammate. And in return, that's how you give your all for Tennessee.
There it is, Heather.
Teared up over here. It's like a little motivational movie. Love it. It there just means go. More. Like, I hear Ron talking. I know what he went through. Like, it means so much. And you really do provide a good perspective for people that are out there that really don't know what it's like to be in a locker room, or maybe even take it for granted. Like you said, if you were sitting there talking in front of those guys, like, don't take this moment for granted. You guys might not ever be together again as a team. How do you want your legacy to be remembered here?
Exactly. And you got to think, man, like, even this trickle down to the football team. Like, they had the opportunities for a guy like Al Wilson to come in and speak. Like, in order to know what this means to a person, like, you got to go back and watch and know the history of the people that sat there before you. Like, it really does mean something. When Bernard King came back to speak to those guys 2 years ago and what it meant about the Kentucky game, he really, really meant that. Like, he wasn't conditioned to say that. And that's what I think you got to get out to be able to shake up on this team. Like, you start to get into a role and you start to do things that are routine over and over and over. Yeah, it does mean a lot to me. Yeah, let me slap the sign. Let me give my all for Tennessee. Now, do you really, really want to give your all for Tennessee? Because if you do, you can control that. And it's certain things that wouldn't matter when you're out there on the court. It doesn't matter about me scoring. If I'm on a fast break and I'm pushing it ahead, I'm about to go get a dunk, and I see my teammate trailing me like a Fulkerson, yeah, I'm throwing it off the backboard for him. Not before the oohs and ahs of the crowd, but because I know what this dunk is going to do for him. It's going to energize him to do the next play. So now when I get beat and Fulkerson comes over and helps me, it's because I just gave him energy to play before and sacrifice my points, which don't even matter, but it's the team's points that I just gave him. Now he can come over and help me defensively, and it's totally different. He's coming over not because it's a routine, not because he's conditioned. It's because he don't want to see his brother fail and get beat off the dribble and nobody be there. Now I'm going to give this extra effort, so when the ball is swung four times, the guy that's closing out is the one that closed out on the first swing. Now he's giving extra effort to get there on the fourth swing. It's totally different. But you can't be conditioned to do it or make it a routine. You got to do it because you want for your brother to succeed. And that's what I see is missing. That's where the excitement came from. That's why all that peanut butter jelly with Grant and Admiral and all those guys, that's where it came from. You know, and dating all the way back to us. You even go to Robert Hubs and those guys got the buying in. Kevin Punter Jr., they got the buying in. Like, I had a guy, David Harrison, that played for Colorado, call in the other day when I was on 104.5. And I didn't know it was him. So after we got off the air, I hit him back and was like, man, I wish you would have told me it was you. And we got into a conversation. He said one of the craziest things that happened to me, Barnes, he played at Brentwood Academy, All-American and everything, went to Colorado. And Barnes was at Texas. He said he came out, and when he was in warm-ups, Coach Barnes told him, we're not doubling you. You got to beat us. And David Harrison said, what? And he was going through a slump at the time. David Harrison came out. He said he had his best game of that year. After the game, Coach Barnes came up to him and gave him a big hug and whispered in his ear and said, there you go, big fella. That's the best game I've seen you play. That's the way you got to play. This is an opposing coach saying this. So in return, he was saying that it can't be the coach and the scheme and him not getting along with the players. He loves those guys. He loves to see guys do well. So I know if he's getting to these guys and calling them out in the media, it's nothing that he won't say to them in their face. You know what I'm saying? So he cares for them to do the right thing, man. And that them as players and as a team, they got to go out there and do it and want to feed each other.
I love it. We have to catch a break. We have one more segment with Ron Slay, the Slay
Ride.
Ain't
no break,
Ryan,
Josh. Let me back in there, though. Let me back in.
There you go. Josh, Ryan tweeted.
We got to go to break.
Can we keep the sleigh ride going for another hour, please? This man has me wanting to run through a wall. So you got Ryan ready to go. Put a jersey on him. He'll go out there and give you a few minutes this upcoming weekend against Florida. We're going to come back. Final thoughts with Ron Slade today, right here on Sports 180. His appearance each week thanks to Native Design and Hardscape on the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, final segment here this afternoon with Ron Slay. The Slay Ride every week thanks to Native Design and Hardscape. NativeTN.com. Hope you caught him last segment. You can always go back and listen if you happen to miss the Slay Ride on the WNML app in the podcast section. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well. We'll have that for you with the hour coming to a close. And Ron, we have this from Rick Barnes meeting with the media while we've been talking here on the radio and talking about John Fulkerson. Said this, I read from Wes Rucker of GoVols 247, quote, "We're not writing John Fulkerson out of the script here. We're not going to do that. We know who he is. We know how loyal he is. We know how much he's hurting. You know him. You know how much this means to him. He'll never quit on us. We won't quit on him." That's Rick Barnes talking about John Fulkerson.
That's big time. That's big time. Sometimes those things need to be said. Sometimes they need to be said in the media. And then that's the thing, man. Like you and what I want people to know, the fans that write in on Twitter and everything, and like they say that these guys don't have a competitive spirit. Where's the fight in them? Like that's one thing that doesn't have to be questioned, especially in a guy in Fulky. You like that? You see it in them. My thing is the joy, the excitement. Where is that at? That's what I believe is missing from his game. It's like it is a burden being, and it is. It is. Let's not get it twisted. Being an All-SEC first team selection, it's a different responsibility that comes with that. You cannot skate under the radar and pop up on somebody as a surprise. When they come in, you're the first one they see. And it's part of it, not only as the coaches making schemes and strategies to stop you, but also the players who want your spot. They want that spot, so it's different. Well, you got to carry that load. So that could be something weighing on them, and it could be something off the court. You never know, man. And that's why you got to be careful when you're talking about these kids, which they're young men, but, you know, they haven't even experienced a lot of things. So with him walking in this role, I think that's needed to be said. But I don't think at all that he's not been saying that behind closed doors. So I think, you know, that you can't give up. That's why it's so difficult to tinker with the lineup, you know, because you think back to like you were talking about with Jerome Maimon and that team suffered and struggled throughout the year. Then all of a sudden it clicked, you know, and coming out of that preseason tournament, I believe they were in Maui and Jerome Maimon had some crazy numbers like 34 and 20 or something. And we were like, oh man, they're on their way. And then he hit a slump. Then coming into the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, that team went on an Elite Eight run. So it can always happen. That's why you don't never, as a coach, want to throw in the towel. You want to always have confidence, and it's kind of hard for fans to watch it at that point. But, man, if you stick with them and it does click, we know how great Tennessee could be if Forky gets back to playing like him. So got to instill that confidence.
When you're looking at where Tennessee is at in the season, the nice week cushion to get ready for the Florida game, have they been in maybe the dog days of the season over the past 2 weeks, and hopefully they're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with the tournaments right around the corner?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, that's what it is. And then, not only that, Heather, you got to look at it. Like, I keep going back to this point about the people that have been there. None of these guys have been there for real, especially at this point. Like a week from now, 2 weeks from now, the season was called. None of these guys have played in the SEC tournament. Victor Bailey's just now getting a full season. Vescovi just now reached his full season mark a couple of weeks ago. And then you got Springer and John Keon. Like, they haven't played a full season of college basketball. They didn't really get the preseason. It would have been different if they stepped into it in June. Like, none of these guys know how to react except Fulkerson and Pons. That's why I put so much ownership on those guys. Like, those are the ones that have to answer the bell night in and night out. And if they can, it's totally different because these other guys are just going with the flow. They don't know what it means at this point. They don't know what's happening tomorrow. They don't know what it's like ramped up in the SEC tournament. Like, it's different. So it is the dog days, and that's why I say you got to find that extra motivation. And that's why when this pandemic isn't going on, like, you can break it up and you can get away from the game and get that continuity of the team together by going out to eat and do different things like that, which is really, really needed. And also the fans. Like, it's something else to to feed off of. So well, that not being there, yeah, it's the dog days, but you got to figure it out. It's part of it.
It's March. It's go time. Yep. Ron, I wish we could keep going. Any shout-outs to give? Anything to leave us with before we say goodbye?
Man, that's it, man. Just keep on supporting them. Like, don't throw it in and just listen to me. You know, Heather made me get in the car and ride with her knowing that anything could happen out there. And you know,
I knew Ron. I'm sorry.
I knew exactly what was going to happen out there. And, but she made me get in anyway, and that's my dog.
Heather was calling the tow truck yesterday. I tell you, Ron, it was not a pretty sight.
I already know it, man. But, hey, man, big game this weekend, man. Go Vols. Keep supporting. And Lady Vols. I see the Lady Vols. Y'all out there
clowning. Absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully we see in the semifinal them versus South Carolina, and they get that handled, and they go on to win the SEC championship. So all Vols for March. Here we go.
Go shout him out on social media. Follow him at RonSlay35. He brings it there, too, as you would imagine. This hour, every week, thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. Find him online. Schedule a consultation today. Go to NativeTN.com. Ron, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
No doubt. Thanks, Josh. Thank you, Heather. And I know I always did a good job when Jacob Dunaway hits me up, so shout out to Jacob Dunaway. Thanks.
Absolutely. Jacob Dunaway, Native Design, making it happen right here on Sports 180. One more hour to go this afternoon before Sports Talk on the Sports Animal.